भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं उदीरयेत् नास्तिप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भगवतः सेवया भगवती उत्तमा श्लोके Bhakti-bhavati naishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad-Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So we're reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the 11th canto. The chapter is chapter 5. And it's called Narda's Teachings to Vasudeva. Even though it's called Narda's Teachings to Vasudeva, the story is that way back in the first chapter of the 11th canto, it was Vasudeva who asked Narda, you know, please tell me what the ultimate goal of life is, or what's really good for me and what's really good for all living beings. So then Narda, he did what he does a lot. He told a story about a person or a personality, a situation that where they asked the same question. So he didn't just answer him, well, this is the ultimate goal. He told a story. Let me tell you a story. So now you remember what the storyline is that we're hearing from? Remember who's talking in our story that we're hearing? If I had nine good fingers, I'd stick them up. That would give you a hint. There's nine personalities and one personality. Do you remember that now? Who are the nine personalities? The Navayogendras. Oh, a minor detail. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Now it's too close. No wonder I kept pulling it closer, thinking, what's going on? Okay, the Navayogendras. And who are the Navayogendras speaking to? Yes, who? King Nimi, right, okay. So King Nimi, Maharaj Nimi, was a great king, and you'll be the next one. He was a great king, and so when the Navayogendras came to him, he immediately asked questions about devotional service, about the highest goal in life. So right now, in the beginning of this chapter, we're on chapter 5, we're on text number 4, so it's right in the beginning of the chapter. In this chapter, Maharaj Nimi asked the Yogendras, what about the people who are outside the Vedic culture? What about the people who don't always get a chance to hear? What's the hope for them? What's their situation? What's their destination going to be? So this verse is spoken by Chamasa Muni. He's again one of the Navayogendras. If you, well, I don't know if you remember because you only come once a week. But anyway, at different times, they all take turns to speak. Just like in the kirtan, at different times, different people chanted. So this is the same thing. So it's not that just one of the yogendras gave all of the answers. They all took turns. So this is Chamasamuni's turn to speak. And he's speaking now about people who are outside or who don't always get a chance to hear and what's their position. So, I'm going to get to the verse any second now. But sometimes we hear in our scriptures things that pinch us a little bit. They kind of pinch our mind or make us a little uncomfortable. Or we're going to hear something like that today, a little pinch. And then we'll talk about it, okay? So here's our verse. Text number 4. Dure hari kata kechit. Dure hari kata kechit. Dure chatyuta kirtanaha. Dure chatyuta kirtanaha. Striya sudrayas chai. Striya sudradayas chaiva. Striya sudradayas chaiva. Tenu kampya bhavadrisham. Tenu kampya bhavadrisham. Dure hari kata kechit. Dure chatyuta kirtanaha. Striya sudrayas. Striya sudradayas chaiva. Tenu kampya bhavadrisham. Please chant. Dure hari kata kechit. Dure chatyuta kirtana. Striya sudradayas chaiva. Tenu kampya bhavadrisham. Dure hari kata kechit. Dure chatyuta kirtana. Striya sudradayas chaiva. Kenu kampya bhavadrisham. Ladies, dure hari kata kechit, dure chatyuta kirtana, striya sudradayas chaiva, tenu kampya bhavadrisham. Dure hari kata kechit. Dure chatyuta kirtana. Striya sudradayas chaiva. Tenu kampya bhavadrisham. Dure hari kata kechit. Dure chatyuta kirtana. Striya sudradayas chaiva. Tenu kampya bhavadrisham. Dure hari kata kechit. Dure chatyuta kirtana. Dure chatyuta kirtana. Far away. Harikata. From discussions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. Kechit. Many persons. Dure. Far away. Cha. And. Achyuta. Infallible. Kirtana. Glories. Striya. Women. Sudradaya. Sudras and other fallen classes. Cha. And. Eva. Indeed. Te. They. Anukampya. Deserve the mercy. Bhavadrisham. Of personalities like yourself. Translation in purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. There are many persons who have little opportunity to take part in the discussions about the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, and thus it is difficult for them to chant his infallible glories. Persons such as women, sudras, and other fallen classes always deserve the mercy of great personalities like yourself. So this is Chamasamuni again. Chamasamuni is talking to King Nimi. So Chamasa is saying, these people, they deserve your mercy. Here's the purport. So the purport's not particularly long, but it's a little long, okay? It's a little long, so hang in there, okay? Purport. In a previous verse, it was explained that some persons are ignorant of the glories of the Personality of Godhead, Nabhajanti, whereas others, although aware of the Lord, ridicule him or state that the Lord is also material, avajananti. So just right there, there's two classes that are being talked about. People who are unaware, that's one thing, unaware, they're ignorant. But then there's another class of persons who, they're aware of the Lord, but they criticize him, they're offensive. So there's ignorant people, and then there's offensive people. In the first class, so who was in the first class? Who was first mentioned? The offensive people were first, or were the ignorant people mentioned first? Yes, Del? The ignorant people. Thank you. Thanks for paying attention. So everybody has to pay attention. So the ignorant people were mentioned first, the ones who aren't aware of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so here he's talking about, in the case of those people, namely the ignorant, they are described as fit candidates for the mercy of a pure devotee. The word dure indicates that those who have little opportunity to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they can be explained as ye sadhu sangha bhagya hina, those who are bereft of the association of saintly persons and pure devotees. Generally, those who are advanced in spiritual science of Krishna consciousness avoid contact with women and low-class men. In general, women are lusty, and sudras and other low-class men are habitually addicted to materialistic habits such as smoking, drinking, and women hunting. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warned the sadhus or saintly persons to avoid intimate connection with women and low-class men. The practical result of such a restriction is that women and lower-class men are often bereft of the opportunity to hear the glories of the Lord and chant, glories of the Lord chanted by saintly persons. Thus, Sri Chamasa Muni instructs the king that he should especially give his mercy to such fallen souls. That he should especially give his mercy to such fallen souls. That he should especially give his mercy to such fallen souls. Okay? Our spiritual master, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, was severely criticized in India for giving all classes of men and women to take part in the Krishna consciousness movement. Indeed, the caste Brahmins of India and other persons concerned only with ritualistic formalities, were shocked that Srila Prabhupada allowed women and persons born in low-class families to take part freely in Vaishnava culture and even become initiated as bona fide Brahmins. However, Srila Prabhupada could understand that in this age, practically everyone is fallen. He saw that if spiritual life were to be limited to the so-called higher classes, there would be no possibility of spreading a genuine spiritual movement all around the world. There's still some more in this purport, so keep paying attention. You're doing great so far. The mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so great, and the holy name of Krishna so potent, that any man, woman, child, or even an animal can become purified by chanting Krishna's name and taking prasadam, the sanctified remnants of Krishna's food. In Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, no sincere person is restricted from achieving the highest perfection of self-realization. In Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, no sincere person is restricted from achieving the highest perfection of self-realization. Or you could say, in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, no sincere person is restricted from achieving the highest something or other goal. Perfection, thank you. Whereas the impersonalists and the yogis tend to be selfishly concerned with their individual realization and achievement of mystic power, it has always been the custom of the Vaishnavas to be merciful to all classes of living entities. It is understood that the conversation between the two Navayogendras and King Nini took place approximately at the time of Lord Ramachandra, which many hundreds and thousands of years ago. But in the Bhagavad Gita, which was spoken only 5,000 years ago, Lord Krishna himself also states that any person, despite his material situation of life, can become the most dear devotee of the Lord by full surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. Therefore, the fallen people of Kali Yuga should take advantage of the special mercy of the Vaishnavas and join the Krishna consciousness movement to perfect their lives and go back home, back to Godhead. Om Agyana Timirandasya Jinanjana Salakaya Chaksu Umitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So I was reminded of the goal of study of the Bhakti Shastras. You know, when I read this verse, when we read different things in the scriptures, sometimes we come across things that we just don't understand, that are beyond our comprehension. Like, for example, have you heard the story of the Matsya incarnation? Can anyone tell me when Matsya himself, Krishna, expanded to his fullest extent, his so-called fullest extent? It's described how big he was. Does anyone remember how big he was? You remember? Do you remember? Yes, go ahead. He was the size of the ocean. He was. He even outgrew the ocean, too. But it also gives how many miles long he was. 8 million miles long. So, what was I saying before that statement? I was saying that sometimes it's hard to understand different things that we read in the scriptures. And we can understand them, but we have faith that Krishna is more intelligent and powerful and potent. We say God is great, right? We say he's great, he can do anything. And then when we hear things like that, we think, 8 million miles long, impossible. We might think, impossible. Or we might think, wow, that's far out. Whatever, you know? But by hearing the scriptures, hearing, we see how the Lord has a plan for so many things. And he's greater than us. And sometimes we get to places that things in the scriptures, something like that, or maybe something like when they say, women are less intelligent. And you think, well, wait a minute. I know XYZ devotee Devi Dasi. She's an all A honor student or this or that. So And how can you say, well, anyway? Sometimes we have to try to put it all in proper perspective, okay? There's in the very nice Bhakti Shastri course that was developed and is being taught around the world, there's aims. The first thing, when you take the Bhakti Shastri course, the official one, that is, one of the first classes that you get is it explains what the goal of this study is. What are the aims of Shastric study? Because the tendency might be to pick out different things and use them as like ammunition. You know, that's called taking something out of context. You take it out of context, you don't get the whole picture. Have you heard the saying, you can't see the forest because the trees are in the way? That's a funny statement, right? But think of what it means. It means you're so up close to that one tree or the one or two trees that are right in front of your nose, you can't see the whole picture. At sometimes it's really good to look at that tree. There might be a diseased tree, like we had some two trees in the front of the driveway. They were a little diseased, and Kalyapani very expertly trimmed them down. And at first they looked like, ew. Oh, sorry, I'm not supposed to say that too much. They looked really skinny, like twigs, like they were like he killed them. But he didn't, because then when the spring came, they grew new branches, and they're doing much better, you could say. So you look at something close, it's important to look at it close. It's important to understand the things up close, but it's also important to understand the whole picture. So sometimes we get information in the scripture, and it's almost, in my example, I'm giving this example, it's almost like a piece of a puzzle, you know, how it fits together. It's a very important, like if you have a puzzle of 500 piece puzzle and you're missing like three pieces or one piece or 499 pieces, it's not a very good puzzle, it's not complete. So we want to get our understanding of Shastra complete. We want to get the whole thing complete and understand what's going on. And so that's a gradual process. That's a gradual process. We hear things, sometimes we might not like them, you know, they might pinch or hurt or whatever, or sometimes we might not understand them fully. But the danger is to take little pieces of information of the Shastra and put them forward as the conclusion. No, the little pieces of information that we might get here and there, that we might not comprehend totally, they're part of the bigger conclusion. And that's something that takes mature understanding. And that comes by what? By hearing it over and over again, and by hearing from advanced souls, the pure devotee from Srila Prabhupada, hearing over and over again. So here, Chamasa Muni is telling Maharaj Nimi exactly an instruction that the students of the Bhaktivedanta Academy are doing today and this week and often and many times. They're going out, they're giving people who don't really know very much or a whole lot about Krishna consciousness, they're giving them an opportunity. How are they giving them the opportunity? Take some prasadam. I can't remember the song, but you know the song, for your little cake song, or whatever. Give them prasadam, their consciousness becomes purified. And then the book that they also got along with the prasadam, or might get in the future, they'll be able to understand it. So that's the point. The point is that nobody's barred, nobody's restricted from taking part in Krishna consciousness. People, and that's another point too. Thank you, Krishna, for reminding me of the other point that I wanted to say. The other point that I wanted to say is that people are at different stages of consciousness. They're at different stages of awareness. They're at different levels of ability. And in other words, we're not all one homogeneous, mixed, equal lump. We're all in different stages. And so at different stages of a person's development, either physical development and or conscious development, then people become aware or able or capable to understand different things. Just like the newly born baby has a very limited capacity to understand things. In fact, the newly born baby probably can't understand anything at all except, you know, give me something to eat and let it be liquid, you know. So that's practically all they can understand, but it doesn't mean they're going to always be like that. In due course of time, as they develop into wiggly young boys and girls. And then after they get past the wiggly stage, they develop into nice young ladies and nice young gentlemen. And then the bad news is the gray hairs come after. In due course of time, it all comes. It's a cycle. So people have different stages. Somebody might have... So in the Vedic literature, there's different words for different things. So intelligence, there's the word Buddha, Buddhi. Buddhi is intelligence, described as Buddhi. But there's also Medhasa. Medhasa is also another form of intelligence. So Buddhi, like even like in school, there's persons who have a great ability to memorize and learn things. They have an academic ability to understand things. So that's a type of intelligence, but it's not the only type of intelligence. There are other people, there are examples, there are people in history who have, like, I've heard that Einstein, he was, like, so intelligent, but he was also he was not always very intelligent on a practical level. And sometimes he would forget basic things, like how to dress properly and stuff. He would forget basic things. He would be spaced out, as they would say. So he had intelligence on one level, but he wasn't intelligent on all levels. So so there's different ways of measuring intelligence. Another way of measuring intelligence is somebody might be very good with their hands. They might be very good with their hands. They might be mechanically inclined, be able to fix things. So in this way, intelligence is measured by the different qualities that are there. And Chamasa Muni is explaining to Maharaj Nimi that all of these different personalities, all of these different, there's something for everyone in the Vedic literature, and they shouldn't be neglected. Although treated in different ways, there's different restrictions according to association of men and women and this and that, and cultural norms that should be applied. Still, nobody's restricted from gaining the ultimate goal, the Krishna conscious goal, the Vedic information of understanding what the goal of life is, what the higher goal of life is, what the purpose of life is, and how to attain it. That is there for everyone. Now, even though we say that's there for everyone, we can see practically that not everyone takes it up, or people take it up in different ways. That's life. Sorry. That's because people are in different states of consciousness, and therefore there are different ways to engage people. There might be for the intellectual class of person, they might be reading, translating, editing books, or speaking in colleges and universities, or so many ways, engaging in so many ways, utilizing their intelligence and their ability to present Krishna consciousness in so many ways. That's great. And somebody else might be very good with their hands, and they might be knitting sweaters for Krishna right at this very moment. Or they might be doing something else, or someone else might be repairing all the machines that we break every time we use those machines, like the tractor or the weed eater or whatever. Someone might be that's very valuable service. So everyone's engaged according to different propensities, and therefore by being engaged in Krishna's service in whatever way it is, one becomes purified. And purified means that the intelligence becomes more and more able to assimilate the instructions of the scriptures. So the bottom line is, everybody makes progress. And that's another basic principle of Krishna consciousness. Everybody can make progress, so just do something. Just do something. If kirtans, if you really like kirtans, then sing your heart out as much as you can. If you really like reading stories about Krishna, then read as many stories you can about Krishna. If you like cooking offerings and making little new sweets for your deities, then make, then cook whatever it is that you like. And if you like your sports, then do your sports to your best ability. And gradually, 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 the consciousness will become purified and you'll make progress in Krishna consciousness. And gradually you'll see that your consciousness develops. So here's the question. Do you have any questions? Do you have any discussions? Do you have anything you'd like to add or wished I would have subtracted? Ha, too late for that. But okay, hang in there at the back of the room. This is for the front of the room just right now. Or the side. Anything? Okay. Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Thank you for the lucid class.
Hare Krishna.
And thank you for reminding me about not taking scriptural quotes out of context. That was great. In thinking about bhakti and analyzing whether I am doing bhakti, I constantly remind myself of the angas of bhakti.
Hmm.
Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaram. That is Uttam Bhakti, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, is that optional? Or should I be doing sports or should I be doing Shravanam?
Hmm. That's a hard one. Want me to repeat the question? Did somebody say that? Hari Purana Prabhu was making a point that when he thinks of pure devotional service, he reminds himself of the angas of bhakti, or Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, the nine processes of bhakti, hearing, chanting, remembering. And so he's kind of he was asking me, is that optional? Is it optional? Is Shravanam, hearing and chanting optional, or should I just be doing my sports for Krishna, or theoretically for Krishna? And is that what I should be doing? So I'm going to ask you folks, because you're very learned, what do you think about that? Do you think that's optional? Not Stita D, I'm not going to ask you. No, I'm talking, how about you? Do you think that's optional right now? Anything you think? Gopal? If you like studying, it might be optional if you're studying. If you're a student, you mean? If you're busy, hearing and chanting might be optional. It could be. It could be a choice that you make. Anyone else? Any other thoughts on that? Okay, further thought. And if you're free, if you have time to devote to thinking and hearing and chanting, then it wouldn't be optional. That's a good point. Let's go on what you said in the beginning. You said, and many people probably think, that it's probably optional if you're a student. What would the result be? I'm not picking on you. We're developing this thought, okay? What would the result be if somebody had hearing and chanting optional? So, okay, let's clarify one thing. Optional. What does optional mean? And or, like you could do it or you could not do it. In other words, yeah. So if you could do it or you could not do it, what would the result, Sean, are you? Vanamali, thanks. Okay, or another, those are two scary microphones. Or another definition of optional is that you have a choice. Okay, so if you chose, you have, if you chose not to hear and chant and dedicate just a whole bunch of time to sports, you'd get one result, right? That's right there in Sri Upanishad, that one result is derived from the culture of knowledge and another result is derived from the culture of nations. That's a practical application of it. I don't know. What's your name? Nadia. Yeah. Nadia, what would you like to say? Can you speak into the microphone? You're not afraid of the mic, are you? Okay, good. Thanks. That's not a playtime.
Are you saying that...
We're talking about the option. If you just chose to just play sports and not hear and chant, what would the result be?
Maya.
It would be, wouldn't it? It would
yes.
be. And why do you say that? That's like the right answer. You gave the right answer. But now I want to poke. Why is it the right answer?
Because hearing and chanting the Maha Mantra is better than just doing sports, because that is Maya, I guess.
Really good explanation of what you just said. Thank you. Anyone like to add to that? Would you like to add something? Oh, you're just Santosh. You can chant the Maha Mantra.
Or in the game, when you're on the bench, you can chant.
You can chant.
If you're at work, at your lunch break, you can chant.
You can? That's good. That's good instruction. We have to remind Hari Parayan that, because he forgot that. Thank you. Okay, now, here's the thing. The point is that Shravanam and Kirtanam, it is optional. It is, because every living entity... Okay, we'll give it to Sita D. Sita D. Okay. Our big student in the back there, Prabhu? Professor?
I mean, I hate to be a cynic here, right?
You hate it, but you're going to do it anyway.
I like it, but I say that to qualify.
Okay.
But, you know, when Prabhupada was riding his bike and when Prabhupada was playing sports... Was his parents agonizing over these questions like this?
No.
Like it's either or?
Thank you for that. They weren't agonizing over it. Okay. The point that we're getting is not so much to agonize. We're not trying to split hairs here. We're trying to understand concepts. People can give answers.
I think the kids get it. I'm talking about the parents.
Thanks. Okay. All right. Sometimes deep breaths are very important. Okay. The point is that hearing and chanting is optional, because every living entity has a choice, you know. But we need to know why we're making those choices and what the results of those choices will be, you know, because they have an effect. Things have an effect on us. If one is in a room full of lots of people who have colds and they're sniffling and coughing and stuff, we have to understand there's effect there. There's germs that are in the air and they'll affect us in a certain way. So sometimes the effects of the material energy is similar. It's similar. If we're not aware that of the situation that we're in, we're not fully aware of how we want to take advantage of this human form of life, not waste the opportunity. Every single second is an opportunity. We want to try to hone that. We want to try to refine it. We want to try to develop it so that we're not... Have you ever noticed how fast time goes by? You have, right? Did your trip to India go really fast? Yes. Sometimes it goes really fast and sometimes it seems to go really slow. It's like that, but it actually goes so fast. And if you notice, you might not have noticed just yet, but as the older you get, the faster it goes. The younger you get, the slower it seems to go. But anyway, the point behind that I'm trying to make is that life goes by really fast. So we want to try to take advantage of the opportunity that we have by hearing and chanting as much as we can, taking advantage, and as Chamasa Muni is saying, being merciful to others. Vanamali, did you have something you'd like to add? Time waits for no... Time and what else waits for no one? Time and tide, the waves, the ocean. I mean, that's the full part of the saying. Yeah, it doesn't wait for anybody. Nobody can stop it. It comes, keeps coming. And so we want to take full advantage. Did anyone else have comments or curveballs they'd like to throw in? Prabhu?
Okay, a few points.
Corrections, he means to say.
Not corrections. Like, for those that are initiated, chanting and hearing is no more optional, but it's a must.
Right.
Good. In terms of when this conversation took place, it took place a little before Lord Ramachandra. And the reason for that is Ikshwaku was the father of King Nimi. Mm-hmm. And Lord Ramachandra came a few generations after King Nimi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's one note. The other point that we should note, and sometimes we don't pay attention, but if you were saying Matsya was 80,000 miles long.
Millions.
It means that the ocean itself was even a little bigger than that. And not only that, it means then that the earth was pretty big at that time. So it's a point to note, really, that, you know, that sometimes we don't really think about it and we don't pay attention. That's why the scientists, they're making so many findings, like they're finding huge animals and they're saying dinosaurs, because they can't make sense of what they're finding, you see? And so it's a point to note, really, that the earth was much, much bigger at that time.
And or it was a different planet,
yeah,
a different sphere. Anything else anyone wanted to say? Jai Shri Prabhu? So they're going to give you a microphone because everyone will hear. Thanks. That's okay.
That was an intellectual comment. Mine was on a different sphere.
That's okay.
Srila Prabhupada tells the story himself when he and his sister were flying kites.
Uh-huh.
They used to pray to Krishna, Krishna, help us fly this kite.
Yeah.
So he would be thinking of Krishna, you know, and chanting, hearing and chanting while they were flying the kite.
Yes.
It was a direct thing.
Yes. Thanks. Vegavati Prabhu?
I used to work with Yashoda, daughter of, can't remember her parents' name. Okay. Ganga and Pujari Ji. Okay.
Nandarani.
So she's in a soccer group that's all devotees. Uh-huh. And they're really good. And they're undefeated.
Uh-huh.
And somebody told recently in class that Kirti Raj, when he was passing by the property with one of his clients who's not a devotee, said, the Hare Krishna farm, that's where they grow all those soccer players.
Uh-huh.
You know, so the thing is, they're devotees. They're chanting, even saying each other's names, they're chanting.
Yes.
They're getting exercise, because I know people that don't suffer. and they're also preaching in their own way, which is, I loved the points you were making about how whatever your tendency is, do that, and that can be a certain kind of intelligence to use in Krishna's service and increase.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So we'll sum it up by saying there's so many opportunities to hear and chant and so many activities of the day that we do in whatever level. If we're a student, then we might do it during break or during class or this, or we might do it during sports. But all of those are meant to increase our hearing and chanting so that we become somewhat like the great souls who have a broad understanding of Krishna consciousness and want to mercifully engage others in Krishna consciousness, because we can understand, we're fully convinced and we've experienced that this is actually the highest goal in life, and they'll benefit from that. So, Kali Pani Prabhu?
So on the topic of engaging our talents, how can a musician engage their talents when, you know, the acharyas have clearly pointed out that things should not be too musical.
Too
musical.
They have clearly pointed it out?
Yeah, Prabhupada has clearly stated there should not be too much music, not too many musical instruments, because then the mind is thinking of the music the mind should be on Krishna. So if one has, you know, many people have great musical talents.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with it if it's going to take you away from Krishna?
You do your best to use your talent to take you towards Krishna. Any talent that a person has, talent with their hands, talent with their mind, talent, musical talent or whatever, could possibly take you away, you know, if you get off track. So therefore, we need to stay on track. It's a general answer. Sorry, I don't have a specific answer because it's not really my field. But we can say any particular thing. Even someone could be doing anything and go a little off, forgetting what the real goal is. But if someone is using their talents with a sincere desire to please the Lord, then the Lord within the heart, and not only within the heart of the other devotees that I associate with, and that's very important, again, as we've heard practically every day of our life in Krishna consciousness, association is very important. The guru is important, the sadhus, the saintly persons are important, the shastras are important, and if we mold our, if we try to cocoon, get inside that association of guru, sadhu, and shastra, then even if we might have the tendency to go off a tad here or there, we'll be brought back by force by the mercy of the Lord and the association of devotees. That's what I have to say for now. Thank you. Thanks for that nice question. Okay, and Madan Mohan will be the last comment. Hare Krishna.
I was just thinking of the verse that you said in the beginning, Nitya Bhagavata Seva. So Nitya a lot of times is always or eternal, but in that verse it's translated as regularly. So as long as we regularly hear nicely, regularly, then our intelligence becomes developed. So the regulation of hearing the Bhagavatam, hearing the class, associating with.
Thanks. It's really late. I'm sorry. Is that okay? Okay, Bhagavati is going to... Okay, Bhagavati, then it's really the end.
Because wasn't Prabhupada's instruction about not being too musically instrument, wasn't that specifically in relation to kirtan? But say with George Harrison, who was a professional musician and was considering giving it up to become initiated, Prabhupada, could you do more service where you are?
So nice point.
If somebody, you know, like Javi is a professional musician, but he uses it. Yeah,
thanks.
That's my
that's
question.
Very, not a question,
or
it's a nice
point.
Thanks. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thanks for your attention. You guys stayed a long time today. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.